Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Father God, as we open these scriptures, these confusing scriptures, might we understand your heart for Bedhampton in 2023? Can we put aside our own thoughts for a moment, Lord, and can we open our hearts and mind to hear your Spirit? Amen. I wonder if you remember these bracelets back in the day that young people used to wear. I've mentioned them before, I think. WWJD. Come on, hands up. Who wore a WWJD bracelet? I did, Susie did, Sally. I can't believe you didn't, John. They stood for what would Jesus do? And the idea was that you would reflect on Jesus, what Jesus would do in any given situation. Of course, it didn't take very long for some smart guy to come up with the idea that flipping tables and breaking out the whip was within the realms of possibility with what Jesus would do. So, you've got to take these things carefully, haven't you? You see, in today's gospel, we see Jesus getting somewhat uptight, don't we? He's uptight with some tables and some furniture and also with a fig tree. Jesus goes from Jesus meek and mild to Jesus annoyed and angry, doesn't he? Not the Jesus that you hear often from my lips. But before we dive into that, let's remind ourselves what's been going on in Matthew's gospel so far. Jesus has been gathering together his, I nearly said reprobates, but they were a bit, weren't they? They were a bunch of ordinary people. And gathering his followers around him. So he had his inner circle, then his 12, and then 100, and the bigger disciples. He's been gathering them all up together. He has been going around healing people, but then saying, "Don't tell anyone I've done this." And then, of course, he goes public, doesn't he? He enters Jerusalem as King Jesus, as we've already heard today, riding on a donkey. Do you know anyone else who entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey? Yes. King Solomon, son of David, rode on a donkey. King Jesus, son of God, rode in triumphant on a donkey. He goes public, and then he goes straight from being called King Jesus to the temple, the magnificent temple on Temple Mount. I want you to imagine Jerusalem at this time. It's Passover. The place is packed. It's the city has quadrupled in the number of people that are normally there. People have been shouting Hosanna, as we heard already in our reading. And now we are here. We are here, where it says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the benches of those selling doves. So what is Jesus so angry and upset about? I'm sure you've been told, and at first sight, it seems that Jesus is angry about people turning his temple, his church, into a shopping centre. And there is truth in that as well. But actually, if you dig a bit deeper, there is a bit more to see here. It's Passover. You're a good Jew. What do you sacrifice? Any ideas? Look on quiet on me.
Perhaps a dove.
Well, we've heard about the doves, haven't we? Fander's right. If you're a good Jew and you have the wherewithal, you sacrifice a lamb. You sacrifice a lamb because that's what we saw pasted on the around the doors, didn't we, back in Exodus. But of course, if you can't afford a lamb, you sacrifice a dove. You sacrifice a dove that you buy from people. Jesus has entered his church, his temple, and he has seen people who are poor being taken advantage of. Those buying the doves. He goes for the tables
with the doves on. I'm sure there's a few more passing by that have been flying in the air as well.
He's just spent the last 3 years telling people that the way to see God's kingdom come is to welcome the widow, the orphan, is to feed them, is to seek out the oppressed. And then he goes into his own church and he does not see God's kingdom at the very centre of his own church. It would be like me grabbing the food bank food, setting up a table just in front of Rog here, putting all the food bank food on it and saying to you guys, 50p a tin. I would have taken what was meant for the oppressed and the poor and sold it as though it was my business. And then, of course, he winds up the religious people again. And he asks them the question, doesn't he? He says, it is written, he says, don't you know your Bible? It's written that in my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers, referring back to Jeremiah. He also quotes Isaiah as well. Jeremiah and Isaiah, he's quoting the gospel, the scriptures to them that they know off by heart. These religious people in the centre of the religion, in the very centre of what it is to worship God in that temple, he's quoting them their own scriptures that they know off by heart. And they say, don't they? They say, why are these people worshipping you? And he says, have you never read from the lips of children and infants? Your Lord has called forth your praise. Again, quoting more of their scriptures, quoting Psalm 8 there. So Jesus has come to the centre of his church to see true religion, to worship the one true God. And he has not found that faith. He has found false religion. I can't imagine what it would have done to him. And so he leaves the religious people thinking about that and goes off to the Mount of Olives, to Bethany. And then the following morning, he's hungry. I just love this. Little side thing, Jesus is hungry. God is hungry. God, fully God, is fully human and hungry. So we have this really weird story that then happens, isn't it? This odd story about Jesus getting uptight with a tree. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. What do you expect from a tree, Jesus? There's leaves. And then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And the tree withered. This is a classic case about why you never, ever, 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 ever read a scripture in isolation. Did you get that? If you know anything about scripture, you will know that God's people are often referred to as trees. Trees are a big thing in scripture. We start off with a tree and we end with a tree, and in between, God's people are often described as trees. And actually, in the New Testament, in particular, as fig trees. And the disciples are confused like we are confused and said, what's this all about? Why did the tree wither so quickly? And Jesus says, I tell you, if you have faith, you can do the same thing. You see, what's happened is this tree is an allusion to what has happened the day before in the temple in God's people. God himself, Jesus, has gone to God's people, has gone looking for good fruit, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly, the fruit of the Spirit in him as well, and found it wanting. When you go to a fig tree, you expect to find a fig tree in front of you, you expect to find fruit. When you go to mature Christians, mature believers of God, you expect to find fruit. And yet he didn't. And this tree is an allusion to that, is an example of what that would be. He says, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, Not only can you do what I've done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the water. And it will be done. If you believe, if you have enough faith, whatever you ask for in prayer will be done. Never, ever, 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 ever read a Bible verse in isolation. This passage has been used so many times to cause hurt and upset to people. Ah, Max, if you had more faith and prayed for your dad more, he wouldn't have died. That's not what this is saying. It's not saying that when you pray for someone for healing and it didn't happen, that you didn't have enough faith. If anyone's ever told you that, I'm here to tell you clearly, that's not what this passage is saying. Never read. You need to know the overarching story of our Bible to be able to read a passage. Yes, God can heal. I have seen healing. But that's not what this passage is about. Let me show you what this passage is about. And to do that, I need to take you back for 2,000 years and to have breakfast with Jesus. So we are on... Man knows about this. We are on the Mount of Olives. We're up the hill, aren't we, man? We're up the top there on the Mount of Olives, near Bethany. And we are looking down. And over the panorama in front of you, you see the olive groves as it goes down into the valley. And then you see before you the walls of Jerusalem. And then as it goes up again, you see the Temple Mount, which would have had, at the time, the Jewish temple on it. Where that gold dome is would have been the Jewish temple. That is where you are. You are standing with Jesus, whose tummy is rumbling, on the Mount of Olives, looking up at the Temple Mountain. You can see where this is going, can't you? He says, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, this Temple Mountain, there's no other mountain around. You're on the only other hill around here. You can say to this Temple Mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea. This is not about having enough faith to bring healing. This is about having the right faith. Jesus says, ignore false religion. Ignore religion that's all show and actually have the right. If you have the right faith, if you have all the faith put into your top, and you can say, forget all that stuff. Throw it into the... flush it down the toilet. You can have true faith, true religion. When you understand God's overarching story, you know what these verses mean. You discover that actually they've been propagated for false religion in the past, telling you that you didn't have enough faith to bring healing. When actually the reality is, Jesus is saying, true faith awaits you. True religion is not about church looking good on the inside. True religion is about church for those on the outside. True religion is for the poor. That's what upset Jesus, not for the church leaders. True religion is for the unchurched, not just for those of us who think we are overly religious. So, this brings quite a tough question for us here in Bedhampton. Because the question that we must ask is, who are we in this story? Are we the poor that Jesus rushed to protect? Honestly, I don't think many of us are. Which leaves only two options, doesn't it? Are we the overly religious that Jesus got angry with? Or are we the disciples who Jesus was warning not to enter a false religion? My friends, Jesus loves you. I say that time and time again. You know, one of my phrases is that Jesus loves you beyond more than you can understand.
But he also calls us to be real. Jesus is also very much about the poor and the marginalised. He's about justice and peace. Yes, he loves us. But I think today he brings a challenge to us. I don't want to be a church when Jesus walks in, picks up a lovely guitar and smashes it on the floor. I don't want to be a church where Jesus walks in and throws the chairs everywhere. I'm sure you don't want to be a church where you're described as a dead tree. None of us want to be that. So it's a real challenge for us as we head forward. And I think there's a challenge for us in two ways. Firstly, as a church, but then also individually. So as a church, as you know, we're going to have 10 days of prayer in May, between the 18th and the 28th. 10 days of saying, okay, Jesus, what is true religion in Bedhampton in 2023? How do we love Bedhampton? And we're going to have all sorts of different types of prayer. There'll be morning prayer from the book. There'll be informal morning prayer. There'll be prayer walking around the parish. There'll be prayer faces at St. Thomas's that you can go and be quiet at. There'll be prayer with videos and worship here. That's it, because there'll be even fish and chip supper prayer on the Saturday. There'll be all sorts of prayer. But that's irrelevant in many ways. Between Ascension and Pentecost, I want to ask you, I want to call you to be part of this. Because without this basis of what does true religion mean in Bedhampton, where do we go? So I'm going to ask you what your part is that week. What part can you play in those 10 days? That's something to ponder on. And then the other part is this. It's about you as individuals. I don't care if you've been a Christian or a follower of Jesus for 70 years or 70 days. There is more to be had. I know that there's more for me. I know, therefore, that there's more for you as well. Have a ponder. The Bible describes our body as a temple. If Jesus walks into your temple, is he chucking tables around? Or is he saying, let's have breakfast? It's a challenge, isn't it, guys? It's easy for me to say that Jesus loves you. He does. But can we give that love back? I pray that he walks into your temple and says, let's have breakfast. And if that's where you are, awesome. Enjoy breakfast. Celebrate with him. But if you're like me, there's a little bit of a worry that there's a wobbly table around as well. And if that's where you are, in any shape or form, I want to offer you this faith MOT. Speaking with someone like myself or Jill or someone else that you trust and just saying, let's have a look at where I am. Has my faith moved in the last year? Because you're not standing still. There's no standing still in the kingdom. You're going one direction or the other. So I want to ask you to think about that. And for those who are brave enough to reach out to me, it's not like I'm difficult to find. Or for those of you who are brave enough to reach out to someone else you trust and say, would you sit down with me and review where I am with Jesus? Let me know if I can help you in any shape or form. Because as we move into Ascension and Pentecost, having MOT'd ourselves, then I believe we will hear from God for our parish. And so, friends, as I finish, perhaps the strangest of verses in the Gospels, of Jesus cursing a fig tree, could be one of the most impactful for you and your future with him.
I guess it all depends on our desire for true religion. Amen. We're going to move into communion in a second. But first of all, we're going to sing a song. Roger's going to come and join us. Just use this. Stay seated for this one. By all means, sing it. We'll sing it together. But also use it as a reflection of what you've just heard from me. And open your hearts to hear from the Spirit. So, Father, may your Spirit fall and speak to us in the here and now. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.